Welcome to The Workbench, where each week we take the time and make the space to build and create in our lives. I'm your host, Christina Awe, and I'm a writer, coach, and human resources professional with a deep interest in helping you find clarity, overcome obstacles, plan, and take action on your big dreams and goals. By doing this and sharing the journey, we build and create, and we inspire others to do the same. So let's get to it. Testing for episode 10 of the Workbench Podcast. Hi, all, and welcome to the final episode of season 1 of the Workbench, where we're looking back and looking ahead. In 2007, our family moved back to San Diego from Connecticut, and after packing up the house, we drove ourselves out across this great nation to our new and next destination. We weren't yet sure where in San Diego we would land, but having lived here before, we did have some context. My husband Tim left before Alex and I did, and he hauled ass to get to the new job, and my mom agreed to accompany Alex and I on our more leisurely journey. We spent 10 days enjoying the ride, stopping along the way to see some of the people we love but often don't get to see. Good alignment. On this trip, we'd hit roads that our AAA maps told us had good alignment. Mom and I would laugh because looking down miles of long straight road, it was obvious. Every time since then, when I'm on a long straightaway, it reminds me of that trip. On these roads, the driving was easy and fast. On the roads that didn't have good alignment, the going was slower or more technical. As I was thinking about the podcast, this memory surfaced, and it's relevant to this journey of creating and producing the workbench. The metaphor resonates. So, does this road have good alignment? At the moment, it does, but there have also been winding roads, obstacles, and the occasional potholes and detours. So today, I'd like to talk about how I got started, some of the elements of creating this, a few lessons learned, and what I'm looking ahead to for season 2 in 2020. I think I've mentioned in other episodes how long it took me to commit to this project. The idea incubated in my mind for several years. And part of this was that usual doubt and fear that accompanies a new endeavor, and part of it was deciding if this was where I wanted to spend my extra time. With so many options to choose from, it can take time to wade through our ideas to get to the heart of what we really want to pursue. But this idea had gotten its hooks into me, and the internal pressure and desire to give it a try finally outweighed all of the other excuses and concerns, and so I began. I can't emphasize how many people, comments, moments contributed to taking the critical first step, that of deciding. These comments and moments in the moment were small, but one by one they added up to create the momentum to push forward and make the decision. It then took a year of thinking and researching, writing, learning, discussion, evaluation, and testing to come up with the episodes. So, some elements of creating. Building something from scratch is daunting because we have so many choices. From creating a name, to deciding on a logo, to navigating all the technology, to crafting the message, these are just a few of the elements, each requiring detailed thought and action. It really can be overwhelming. There were definitely a few moments that I almost chucked this whole project, and I am now really glad that I didn't. Of all of these various pieces, two were essential for me, and the first one was getting a handle on time, and the other was determining what resources to use. Time. As this was and is a side hustle, and because I'm a mom and a wife with a full-time job and a commute, there were so many days when I was at war with the clock, pretty much every day. Every day I felt pushed to find some margin to work on the project. And in the beginning, it felt like I needed large chunks of time, but given the reality, I had to quickly make peace with getting the work done in smaller increments. I'd do this when the pasta was cooking or when my family was watching TV. Also, it was important for me to not burn out. And so, for several months, the anxiety of this was difficult, and I finally put a sticky note on my computer that reminded me every day that there is enough time for everything. It helped me remember in the moment that of the things that I deem important, this is true. Anyone in the midst of pursuing a dream struggles with this. Hell, I think we all struggle with this. A lot of work was done internally, behind the scenes, to try to solve this tension. I took ideas from everywhere, and some of the things that I adopted include, and this is number one, being really smart about my sleep, paying attention to my own energy ebb and flow. I started batching my work more strategically to maximize the time available. I started using my commute more effectively. There were days when I could take the train, and then there were other days that I did some work on the road. I started creating templates for things that were recurring. So examples of this are shopping lists, my family finances, the budget for that, and some emails. Staying aware of the trade-offs, I was really clear that if I was watching TV or on social media, I wasn't able to do work at the same time. And so I got really clear about deciding when to be online and when not. And I really consistently and pretty much every day would take stock of my own energy and mood, trying to know myself well enough to know when I should push forward and when I should just rejuvenate. The next one is pretty hard. It was letting some things go. So sometimes for us, this meant that the dishes got done tomorrow, and sometimes the plants died because I didn't water them. And I have to say, my family was really supportive here, and my husband took on a good share of that extra work that has to get done in a household. So thank you so much, Tim. I really, really, really appreciate it. And then I tried but did not succeed at getting up early and using the early morning hours to create. That just never worked for me. And so, but what it did help me figure out is that I can work pretty well in the evening. So these were some of the strategies that I used to create some more time to work on the project. In terms of resources, this was a do-it-yourself bootstrap project with a limited budget. And as such, I had to be resourceful and seek out information. And then I learned to do most of the work myself. It really would not have been possible without the internet. There are so many fantastic resources out there. And most of you know how much I adore Tim Ferriss. Well, he has a podcast on podcasts. And in that podcast, he shares his equipment setup and some really great tips and tricks. I also found a great website called The Podcast Host that I think has nearly anything you need to know about podcasting. And it's in a pretty easily digestible format. I'd like to send a huge shout out and thank you to Colin Gray and his team for generously sharing. Please check out my show notes for the links to these great resources. So the larger point in talking about time and resources is this. When we can let go of the idea that we need large chunks of time and money to create what our hearts desire, we can then step into the incremental process of creating. Some potholes and detours. When starting something new, we often don't know what we don't know. This can be of benefit because we bring a beginner's mind to the process, and this can allow a wider window for our creativity. At the same time, if we knew how hard things would be, we might not have the courage to start. This was so true for me. In August of 2018, when I committed to this project, I hoped to launch in October. Then in January, then in March, I kept pushing the deadline back. Then I finally knew enough to stop putting dates on the launch. And finally, in August of 2019, a full year later, I had several recordings, but I still didn't have other episodes prepared and in the bank. As usual, my impatience won out and I launched anyway. My battle with patience may never be resolved, but good lessons emerged from this too. So defining the goal or minimum viable product. Throughout the building of this, I kept the idea of minimum viable product in my head. This concept was introduced from the tech entrepreneur space and was brought to our cultural awareness by Eric Ries in his book entitled The Lean Startup. For each episode of The Workbench, I had to determine if the quality and content would satisfy me as a consumer. And I had an idea of what my own minimum viable product would entail, and this idea became finessed over the course of the 10 episodes. Here's what my vision entailed. I wanted content that was inspirational and well-crafted. I wanted a comfortable vibe, accepting, upbeat, and real. I wanted to create some push and stir the pot for positive change, and I also wanted to dig into the difficult topics that can prevent our forward momentum. I wanted to provide ideas and resources for others to use, and I also wanted to invite others to participate. Reflection. Two key lessons learned, getting ahead, and knowing when to call it done. One piece of advice seen over and over in the world of blogging and podcasting is to have some work prepared ahead. The This is true of any product that is produced or published. You can bet that this month's November issue of your favorite magazine was in development for months prior to publishing. And consistent, regular publishing builds audience. This was very much top of mind for me, and I came really, really close to achieving this. And yet, I decided to launch without other fully completed episodes, and this created a situation in which I had to choose between meeting my deadline and finessing the work to my satisfaction. Secondly, what is enough and when can we call our work done? At what point can we stop fussing? Having this experience of being under deadline sharpened my thinking. Once I write an episode, it needs some time to marinate before it's finalized. Not building in time for this process and not having some produced work queued up creates the uncomfortable situation of having to choose between the desired quality and deadline. Looking ahead. While this is my last episode for the year, there are several aspirations for 2020, and since we've already identified that one of my areas of growth is patience, it'll be interesting to see where we end up in a year. I have a few goals, and one of them is spending more time in creating each episode. This is the most fun part of the project for me. I mean, seriously, sitting down with others and asking questions and then learning and sharing their interesting experiences, it really is a dream come true and one of the things I do best. I also want to collaborate more in building out the Workbench community and sharing expertise. To truly grow this thing, I'll need some help with marketing and some of the back-end website projects. And I'm looking for a few people who'd like to share their own journey on the podcast. So if you have some experience here and you're willing to trade some of that for some Workbench coaching, or if you want your Build Create project featured on the podcast, get in touch and we can see if our interests align. Finally, I'm seeking to find a better, more sustainable rhythm to this process. I really enjoy the work, so giving up the weekend time is easy, but I don't want all of my weekends consumed. I found that when we are doing work that we love, it's really easy for that work or hobby or side hustle to creep more and more into our leisure time, and this eventually does lead to burnout. I approached that feeling more than a few times over the past year, and I have vowed to keep that in check going forward. So that sums up what I have envisioned so far for 2020. I'm really looking forward to some of those metaphorical easy driving roads with good alignment, and I'm now better equipped for the detours and potholes. All of these experiences have been useful. And right now, I can't tell you how grateful I am for all the people, ideas, all the moments and comments and the work others have done to inspire and encourage me to trust my voice, to get over myself and step into this project. I'm humbled and grateful for what has been accomplished, and I'm really excited for what is to come. So, what about you? What's on your list for the coming year to explore, to give voice to build and create? And, if not now, when? When will you allow yourself to stick your toe in the water or to jump in with both feet? Little steps are big. Attending to the inner work and taking one action leads you to your next. And often, these little steps yield a deep sense of fulfillment that can be experienced now. I encourage you to begin. And if you need an ear to bounce ideas off of, get in touch. Leave a comment or send an email to aw.kristina@gmail.com. That's aw.kristina@gmail.com. So before we close, I want to say thank you to all of the people in the past year who have listened, shared ideas, encouraged me, celebrated, and were generally generous in cheering me on. Your support has meant so much. I hope you all have a peaceful and joyous end of year, and I look forward to sharing more of the Workbench in 2020. Join us on January 13th for the first episode of Season 2. Can't wait. We will see you then. Thank you for joining us today at the Workbench. We welcome your comments and would love to hear what you are in the process of building. Look us up at kristinaau.com, that's kristinaau.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, you can help us with our build by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We aim to inspire and stir the pot for the next big thing you want to build or create. Until next time.